is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Normally on Mondays, we talk to County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. We didn't do that, of course, because of the holiday, so we bring him in this afternoon. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on again.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, looking at the county situation right now, and the new data just came out for today, reporting 28 more people with new positive test results in Douglas County since the update yesterday, and a lot of hospitalizations. In fact, it looked to me like last week, and I think you said that at some point last week, was one of the biggest number of cases in a week during the entire pandemic.
That's true. So at this time, we're having one of our highest case count rates and our highest number of hospitalizations.
So 28 in one day, what do you attribute all this to?
Well, I think there are three things going on here. I think the first is that people have sort of gotten the idea that this is over and people are not doing the masking and distancing that they might have been doing before. The second is that while we're doing okay with vaccines, we've not been able to get much past the 52-53% group. So that means there's a lot of people out there who are not vaccinated. And the third thing is we know that the variants have now arrived in Douglas County. In the last week, we've had a bunch of the P1 variant, now called the Gamma, which is from Brazil, which seems to be really quite contagious.
And are all of these cases recently, or most all of them, people that are unvaccinated, or have we had any breakthrough cases in the county?
We've had just a few breakthrough cases. So when we looked at our three-week data, we've had 335 cases. Of those 335 cases, 329 out of the 335 were in people who were unvaccinated, and only 6 were in people who were vaccinated, and those people were all mildly ill. So given that, it looks like the vaccine is well over 95% effective in preventing disease.
And among those few that did end up being a breakthrough case, is that people that have been vaccinated more recently?
No, there were some people who were vaccinated earlier, some who were vaccinated more recently. You know, the vaccine is not 100%. There's no vaccine. There's no medicine that's 100%. And there's just, for whatever reason that we don't fully understand, a small number of people who don't generate a significant response.
Now, our numbers here in terms of breakthrough, is that pretty much on par with what's being seen other places?
Yes. So the number of breakthrough cases, much less than 5% in Douglas County, in Oregon, and in the country.
For the county, we got the word yesterday from the governor's office, we remain at high risk level. When I was going through the numbers, not very many counties moved down at all. But when you look at the list of counties that are now in lower risk, some of them are very populous counties, like Washington County, a huge population there. They've made it down to low, yet we remain at high.
Well, Washington County and Lane County, two large counties that have done well, have a much higher rate of vaccination. So Lane County is about 15% ahead of us in terms of vaccinations. They've also had a little bit more disease along the way, so they have more people with immunity due to the disease. So that difference of 20% or so of people who are immune makes an enormous difference in the number of cases you're going to get.
And when we look at all the things that are involved with the different risk level guidelines, I mean, it really changes a lot of different things. I know that when Washington County, for example, got down to that low risk level, a lot of business opportunities, a lot of things there improved for the first time in quite a while.
Right. So the restrictions on businesses when we get to high levels are really hurtful to businesses. And so the best way to do that is to bring the case rate down. The best way to bring the case rate down is by increasing the number of people who are fully vaccinated.
Around Oregon, what other counties are seeing bigger problems right now?
So the three counties that are struggling the most in Oregon now are Klamath County. And Klamath County has been struggling for about 6 weeks now. Deschutes County and Douglas County are three of the highest. We're three contiguous counties. And so not surprising that we're having more. Now, again, some of this is due to variants. And these variants tend to be more contagious and maybe less well protected by the vaccine, which means that you need even a higher level of vaccination.
And how are the other two counties in terms of their vaccination levels?
Comments about where we're at. Deschutes is a little ahead of us, but again, it's hard to compare counties. For example, Klamath County has no VA facilities, and the tribes in Klamath put this into the database. In Douglas County, the immunizations done by the VA and the immunizations done by the Cow Creek tribe are not all in the state system. So that falsely makes our numbers low. We think our number is about 52% or 53% of the people in the county, 16 and above, have gotten at least one dose of vaccine.
We're going to talk more about those percentages here in a bit. Nationwide, how are things shaping up right now, now that we're into June?
Well, right now in the country, the case rate is really very low. So when we look at the number of cases per 100,000 people per day, Douglas County has a little more than 100,000. For example, we had 28 in the country. We're about five cases per 100,000 per day. So much of the rest of the country is not seeing very much disease. And that's a good thing. Some of that is due to vaccination, but some of it is just due to the variants being slow to arrive in those locales.
Now, are we more likely to be exposed to the variants just being on the western border of the country?
Yes, I think we're more likely to be exposed to the variants because we're along a busy interstate, and all along the I-5 corridor, there is disease that goes up and down that I-5 corridor. That doesn't exactly explain what's happening in Klamath, but we do know there's a bunch of P1 and a bunch of the B117 out there. Our concern is that the 617, now also called the Delta variant, in India appears to be especially treacherous.
What about states in the U.S. That are maybe doing especially well right now?
So the central Midwest is doing well, but for no obvious reason. So, for example, Kansas has a very low rate of disease, but Missouri, right next door, which has similar things now, has a high rate of disease. So it's not exactly clear that this is anything just but, at this point, just luck. You know, you just have to get one or two variants in the community for it to really spread quickly. So, for example, there's a case of a P1 variant that started up in the Portland area, then moved to Multnomah County, and now has moved down to Douglas and Coos County. And so that's the kind of thing that is just hard to control.
I don't know how much data is out there. I mean, there's so much that it's hard to really probably see all of it that you would like to, but any idea at differences in statewide vaccination percentages? I mean, are there some states that are really up there and some that are very low?
Yes, there are differences among states. So, for example, Hawaii has done a great job. Alaska has done a good job. Oregon is doing above average. And then places like Vermont and Maine have done a very nice job. And then unusual places you may not otherwise think of, like Wyoming, has done a nice job on vaccinations.
Let's take a look at the world picture. I mean, India is the one that's really been out there in the forefront for a number of weeks. How are they doing? And talk about other countries that have large numbers of cases.
Well, India is very worrisome. I think everyone agrees at this point that the data from India is really hard to follow because they seem to be so overwhelmed. But they're having a large number of cases, and now it's spreading to areas around them. So Nepal, just to their north, and the Seychelles and the Maldives in the Indian Ocean are really struggling. We're starting to see a few more cases in Africa, and South America is just still an incredible hotspot. So pretty much all of South America has lots and lots of disease.
And around the world, are there particular areas that are still doing really good?
Yeah, so New Zealand and Australia still have very low rates of disease. Taiwan, which had previously had a low rate of disease, had an importation of cases through some airline pilots who weren't screened, and they came in and they spread it to others. So they've had a few hundred cases a day, which for Taiwan is a lot, and yet they're getting it under control. But even they, who've done a really good job so far, have seen that these new variants are very transmissible and hard to control.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer will talk more about variants, vaccine concerns, and other related topics. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow, we take a look at the end of the school year at Roseburg High School. Principal Jill Weber will be in. Valedictorian Camille De La Cruz and one of the ASB co-presidents joining us as well. We'll talk about what the year has been like at our RHS, look ahead to graduation this weekend, and even that parade that's taking place as well. That'll be on tomorrow's program. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us on Inside Douglas County. Let's talk more about variants. One of the things I had noticed in recent days, and maybe this got past me initially, is that the names or the terms used to describe the variants have been changed. Talk about that. What can you explain on that?
So the variants naming has been so confusing because sometimes we talk about them in terms of the genetic code, which has changed, like the D614G, which means that the 614th amino acid got changed. Then we had a thing called the Pango lineage, was like the B117 or the P2. And then some people refer to them as the place they were first seen, such as the UK or Brazil. We've decided, the WHO decided, let's make it clearer. And so they call the original one the ancestral. And that's the first one that was there that no longer, we don't see that anywhere in the world. So that now pretty much what we're seeing are the different variants. The first one is the B117 in the UK. That's called Alpha. The B1351, which was seen in South Africa, is now called Beta. The P1, which was first seen in Brazil, is now called Gamma. And the 617.2, which was first seen in India, is now called Delta. It keeps going after that. But those are the four big ones. And so in Oregon, we're still seeing a lot of the Alpha, which is B117. We're seeing not very much of the Beta, which is the South African variant. We are seeing quite a bit of the P1, which is the Brazilian variant, also known as Gamma, and we've not yet seen any Delta, but in other places in the world, that's become the predominant form.
As we look at the vaccination issue and the question that comes up in your report today to get to that 65% vaccination rate that lets counties move to a lower risk level, Douglas County needs to vaccinate about 12,000 more people. That is a big number.
That is a big number, but it's very doable. We're doing about 1,000 new people a week. So we think in about 12 weeks we could get there or sooner if more people would get vaccinated. We're having a big event this weekend at the fairgrounds between 9 and 2. We're going to be giving both the Pfizer and the J&J vaccine. There's no charge. You don't even have to sign up for it. Just show up somewhere between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. and we'll get you either the Pfizer or the J&J vaccine.
Obviously, you've heard throughout this whole time of the vaccines being available, a lot of people that are concerned, a certain percentage of people say they're never getting vaccinated no matter what. Address some of those concerns that you've heard and how you would respond to them.
Well, we think that the concerns in several different groups. So the first group are the procrastinators, right? When we turn 50, your doctor says, go get a colonoscopy. But most of us probably don't sign up for a colonoscopy the next day. We wait a little bit. It's not something we're so keen on doing. And so we've got a lot of people who are medical procrastinators, especially young people. They've got other busy lives and they're working and whatever. And they're a group that we're hoping to make this so easy that they'll do it. The second group are people who are working really hard. So there was somebody I talked to the other day who was working 6 days a week at a restaurant. And their concern was if they got vaccinated on a Saturday, then they might miss their shift on Sunday. And both the restaurant needed them and they needed the work. So we're trying to work with those people to get them some time or a way that they can get vaccinated. Then we're seeing people who are just waiting. You know, they don't want to be first for anything. And so they're waiting to see how the data is coming in. And the data is coming in really strong. that these vaccines appear to be very safe and very effective. Now we've given well over 200 million in the U.S., and except for those rare side effects of the blood clotting with the J&J and maybe some mild myocarditis with the RNA vaccines, we're not really seeing any bad side effects and really good effectiveness. And then there is a small group of people who just say, we're never going to do this, and we're basically not going to fight. But we think the other groups are people we would like to get to.
What about other potential vaccines? We basically have three right now. Is that going to be it, or are others still in formation?
Well, there are some others in formation. There's one called Novavax, which is a protein vaccine, an older kind of vaccine that takes longer to get going. And that's going to be going up for approval in the next month or two. That'll add to our armamentarium. The AstraZeneca vaccine, which is also an adenoviral vaccine, I think probably that's going to go to the rest of the world. So that'll be a good thing.
As of Monday, 52.2 people, percentage of people in the county, 16 and older, have been vaccinated. How do we compare with other counties in Oregon?
Well, that includes the data from the VA and others, and it's about almost exactly the national average. There are certainly some counties that are above us, like Hood River, Multnomah, Deschutes, and Lane, and then there are others that are well behind us, mostly in eastern Oregon. So we're kind of in the middle of the pack here, pretty much as expected.
And as we look ahead to getting through this, I know along the way, you explained many months ago, there would be shifts and new information that comes out. What kind of new things have been learned recently about this virus?
Well, there are two fascinating things that we've seen over the last week. One is that dogs have been trained to spot people with COVID by the smell, and they seem to be over 90% effective in sorting out those who have and don't have COVID. You can imagine how good that would be at a place like an airport or whatever, where they might be able to find those people who are positive and get them otherwise tested. The second is that the scientists at MIT take recordings of people coughing. And with the recordings of people coughing, they say they're also over 90% effective in picking out a non-COVID cough from a COVID cough. That seems to me to be just really quite unbelievable. I listened to the coughs. I couldn't tell any difference. And yet they say that over 90% of the time, they can tell whether you have COVID or not just by the sound of your cough.
Now, I heard about the dogs, I guess, for the first time this morning. Is that being used anywhere, or is this still kind of a bit of an experiment right now?
Well, they're using them extensively in Thailand, which actually has done a very good job with the COVID pandemic. There are several places in the U.S. and Europe that are training dogs to do it. It's hard to believe that you could smell that well, but dogs are pretty amazing in their sense of smell.
Interesting. We'll see where that goes. Might be an interesting thing to have incorporated as things begin to open up. And speaking about that, as we're getting into the summer months now, school getting out, we see as more people are getting the vaccine, that more events are beginning to happen. How do these activities take place safely when we still have some people vaccinated, some not?
Well, the safest way to do these things is do them outdoors. So we're going to have a fair, we're going to have the arts festival, we're going to have the show and shine, all things that can nicely be done outside. And so the risk of transmission outdoors is really very, very low. So even at our rate of immunization, outdoor activities are great. In fact, most of the graduations are going to be outdoors for exactly that reason. Indoor activities, still a little bit risky, and especially indoor activities where people are crowded. So I think at the fair, they may still have some indoor booths, but they're going to limit the size of the crowds and leave the doors open so improve ventilation. Still, what we see as the biggest source of transmission is when people are in a crowded place, like in a household, or they're in a workplace where there are multiple people in the same room. That's where we see most of the disease being transmitted.
About a minute left. Looking at the comparisons to the 1918 pandemic, what kind of information is out there?
Well, the 1918 pandemic was different in many ways. One, it was a flu influenza, so a different kind of virus. And the second thing about that was that it would seem to be most lethal for young people, especially military people. And so there were a lot of deaths among young people. It seemed to be less deadly among old people because many of the old people had had a similar flu 30 or so years earlier, and so had a little bit of immunity. It was a terrible pandemic. Many, many, many deaths around the world really changed lots of economies. This has been far less bad, but we've got a great vaccine, so I really encourage everybody to get a vaccine.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.